So I say this to the militias and all others who believe that the greatest threat to freedom comes from the government instead of from those who would take away our freedom. If you say the government is in a conspiracy to take your freedom away, there is no freedom.
They'll never take our freedom!
There are too many guns on the street. We lose 93 million Americans a day to gun violence.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Freedom Rings. This is Tommy Freedom reaching you loud and clear on the alt-right frontier. I'll be your voice of reason for the next 30 minutes, so keep it right here. You are tuned in on the TFR Radio Network, broadcasting to you from a log cabin in a secret mountaintop location somewhere in Appalachia on White America Radio. Hey folks, and welcome back to Freedom Rings. I'm glad to be back with you for another one half hour. Now folks, I got a question for you. Have you ever done something just really stupid? George is already raising his paw. No, you're not countering here, George. I'm asking the audience. Just, you know, it's a hypothetical question. Have you ever done something where you just had like a Homer Simpson "duh" moment where it was just, I mean, completely, yeah, duh. Well, I had one this morning, folks. I've been losing weight for the past 2 weeks or so. I changed my diet. I haven't really eaten breakfast or lunch in a long time, but occasionally I will, especially if I'm out running my route. You know, I might stop at a Bojangles or something, get something for breakfast. But about 2 weeks ago, I just stopped eating altogether except for dinner and then eating only meat, maybe a veggie every now and then, because my metabolism does not require meat. Years and years ago, when I was in my 20s, I would fix nothing but meat for dinner. The only vegetables that I would get would be the lettuce and tomato on my burger at lunchtime. Never got scurvy. So I don't need all that extra junk. So I've just gone back to eating nothing but meat again, with a vegetable one, maybe twice, one or two times a week, but mostly either none a week or just one night a week. And I've been losing like a pound every other day. So this morning I get on the scale and I'm down to 161.5 from the 163 I was at yesterday morning. Like, wow, this is cool. Lost a pound and a half. Moved the scale around a little bit just to make sure it was not an inaccurate reading. It went up to 164. I said, oops, something's wrong there. Moved it again, stepped on it, and it went down to 162.5. And this kept going back and forth and back and forth. So I figure, well, you know, the battery might be getting a little bit old or whatever. You know, I'll change that a little bit later on. So I took a shower and everything and got ready with my day, went in the refrigerator and got a new battery for it, put it in. I stepped on the scale and it said 168. Like, maybe it's not the battery, you know, maybe it's the scale. So I put the other battery on my tongue and got a pretty good zing out of it. There was nothing wrong with the other battery, so I'm standing there scratching my head. And suddenly I realized I had been weighing myself in my underwear the first time and was now weighing myself fully clothed. So I moved the scale again and went down to 167, moved it again and was still 167. So yeah, the 5 pounds of clothes, the 162.5, 163 was actually accurate. So yeah, that's just one of those dumb things. Didn't even stop to take into consideration that I was weighing myself one time with no clothes on and then weighing myself with clothes the other time and wondering why there was such a big discrepancy in the readings. But on the note of dumbness, I saw something extremely dumb the other day. Now, maybe we've done dumb things ourselves, but I'm sure you've seen somebody do something just completely stupid. You what? No, I'm not asking you about the dumb things that you've done, George. We know that. No, I'm asking you, have you ever seen somebody do something as stupid or, well, almost as stupid as something that you have done? I didn't think so. All right, much less something even stupider. And this, I don't know if it actually comes under stupidity or maybe just incompetence. I don't know. Now, I shared the story with you a couple of months ago when I was at the gun show, and I had my 50 BMG for sale for, what was it, $34.95. And this guy came by, and after some hemming and hawing, I told him I'd knock it down to $33.95, throw in a bottle of lube. And he goes, okay. And he tries to pay for it with a $50 bill. That was stupid. That was probably the dumbest thing I have ever seen anybody do in my life until last Friday. I was running my Friday route, and I pulled into a convenience store to get some go-go juice. Walked in the door, had to use the restroom. So as I pull up, let me just kind of back up a little bit here. As I pull up to the pump, I get out. There is an SUV from Mooresville PD parked in front of the Quickie Mart. I go in, and there's the cop talking to somebody, you know, in the back of the store. I had to walk by him to use the restroom, kind of nod and acknowledge each other. Use the restroom, come back out, and there is a woman standing in front of me. Now, she had been behind me when I was going into the store. I forgot to add that. And she seemed to be a little bit tipsy. So now I'm standing behind her, and the only thing she bought was one of those giant Bud Light cans. You know, the ones that are like a can and a half. It's in a paper bag, and I see it in there. So she paid for it and her gas and went out the door. So I paid for my gas. I come out, I go over, I start filling my tank up, and I happen to look over my shoulder, and that police officer's ambling over my direction. So I'm like, huh, what's he want with me? Because it's not like I had the back of my car facing him where he could see the blue line sticker or my tag or anything like that. And he comes over and he goes to that white car on the other side of the island. And he looks in the window, and he comes around the front of the car and he goes, ma'am, were you just drinking a beer? And of course here, oh. So he goes, you weren't just drinking a beer. You know how Negroes do, you know, shaking their head and, you know, like it's about to fall off. Oh, no. He said, there's a beer in the back seat. And about that time, I had topped my tank off, screwed the lid back on, get in the car, and I'm pulling off. And she's still waving her arms around like a windmill, shaking her head. So here she is. She's already lit when she gets up there. So that's public intoxication. Consuming alcohol in public. Open container in a car. And if it showed on video surveillance that she had pulled up there and she failed the field sobriety test, DUI. The dumbest thing I have ever seen somebody do in my entire life. Yes, George. Dumber even than you. So if you've got some dumb stories you want to share with me, either something dumb that you've done yourself or something that you've witnessed someone else do, feel free to shoot me an email at TommyFreedomRings@yahoo.com. I'll be glad to share them on the air. I've done a few dumb things in my life involving cops. Almost always, it's been doing something while driving and getting pulled over for it. Now, 1 year back about, that's got to be 10 years ago, not only did we have the rarity of having a significant snowfall here in this part of North Carolina, we then got freezing rain on top of it. So what we had was the snow with the layer of ice on top of the snow. Extremely dangerous. And I ran some errands, and I was pulling out of the shopping center. I was turning left. There was a car that was coming the opposite direction that was also turning left. So we're both going in opposite directions. So I started to pull out. He pulled out. Well, all of a sudden behind him is a car that's going straight. Now, I'm already in the middle of the intersection, and that's about the time I noticed that it was a CMPD cruiser. Well, at that point, I was committed. So I just stepped out a little bit more, cut right in front of him, pulled off the side of the road even before he lit me up. By the time he came up, I had my window rolled down, had my wallet open, get my driver's license out. Of course, there's the badge and the wallet. I said, I'm sorry. I said, I didn't see you until it was too late. I said, but I figured it was safer to keep going than to stop and have you T-bone me. He said, so you know why I pulled you over? I said, yes, sir. He said, okay, have a great day. I said, thank you, sir. You too. So that was one dumb thing I did. I think probably the dumbest thing I've ever done, or the lamest excuse I've ever had when pulled over, is back in 2004. I was on my way up to New York, to the Hamptons. I was doing a job up in the Hamptons. And I was going up through Virginia on Interstate 81. And it was about maybe 6:30 in the morning, just about that time where you get kind of complacent and don't pay attention. I guess my foot got heavier and heavier and heavier. And all of a sudden I hear, woo! Now there's a car behind me. Well, behind that car is a state trooper. So, oh my God, I look down at the digital dash, 83 miles an hour in a 65 zone. So, oh my God. So we both pulled over, and he came up to the guy behind me first. Then he came up to me. Of course, I opened up my wallet, and he inquired about the badge, and I told him who I was. I said, this guy was behind me, and I was just trying to get past traffic and everything. So he said, okay. So he took my driver's license, and he ran it. And I'm waiting. Then he comes up. He goes over to the other guy, gives the guy his summons and his driver's license back. I'm like, oh, this is either really, really good or really, really bad. Goes back in the car and turns off the lights. Well, turning off the lights turns off the dash cam. So now nothing is being recorded. So he came back up to the car, this time on the passenger side. I put the window down and he reached in. He had my driver's license in his hand. And I went to take it and he wouldn't let go. And he said, the next time that you feel someone is following too closely and you feel the need to accelerate to get out of the way, you might not to wait until you're a mile past the line of traffic to pull back over into the other lane. I said, yes, sir. I understand that. I appreciate that. Thank you, sir. You have a wonderful day. So, yeah, we all do stupid things from time to time. I don't have enough time to get into a full segment on here, so let me share one more anecdotal story with you before I have to go to a break. And this one does not involve me. It actually involves my next-door neighbor. Now, this guy is black. He's not a nigger. I will say that first and foremost. He is a black man, and folks, you understand the difference. This guy works hard. He's dumb as a brick. But until he retired, he was working construction, doing everything he could to make money. The man really tried. Probably didn't get more than past the fifth or sixth grade as far as education went. Couldn't understand really a thing that you tried to explain to him, but still was a really nice guy. He tried. Okay. So if you're a black man and you've got an education and you tried as hard as he did, you'd probably be a brain surgeon. The thing about him is he would do dumb things and then he would tell me about them, which I always found interesting. I mean, yes, it's nice to be able to laugh at yourself. And of course, I've shared stories with you, as I've done today, about dumb things that I do. And you know, yeah, if you can learn from it, then I'll share it with you. Well, this man is absolutely terrified, and I mean a phobia, of cats. And it took probably 5 or 6 years of knowing him before he actually told me why he was so afraid of cats. And when he was a kid, he lived on a sharecropper's farm in South Carolina. And one day, I'm not even going to use the word, piece of excrement threw a cat into a cauldron of boiling water. And he said the cat came out of there, and you know what cats can sound like, crying babies. He said this cat came out with no fur on it, and it sounded just like a person speaking a foreign language, that poor cat. But it threw the fear of God into him, so he's been terrified of cats ever since, because he thought it was like an evil spirit. I mean, the guy doesn't practice voodoo or anything, but it affected him that way, like the cat was a bad spirit. So he's been terrified of cats ever since he was a boy, and now he's in his late 60s now. I, of course, have many cats, and have had many cats over the years. I've had at least 80 cats over the years. And at one point, I had a couple cats that would go over the fence into his yard and eat his dog's food. And these were big, badass cats. One of them got run over by a car, unfortunately. Really, really sweet cat, too. And that cat hated dogs. When the dog from next door on the other side would come over, this cat would get about a foot long and 3 feet high, walk right up to it, and bump it with his chest, just like a bouncer, and escort the dog off the property. Well, his younger brother, that was Jacques, his younger brother Pierre, was the one that would go over the fence and eat the Siberian Husky's food. And the dog was afraid of the cat. I mean, it would be cowering around the corner. The cat would come up, push it out of the way, and eat its food. And when it got done, it'd come back over the fence, and the dog would go and start eating its food again. It was the funniest thing you'd ever seen. Well, apparently, one day, my neighbor came out the back door. The back door was on the side. It came out into the carport. And the spring on the screen door was broken. So he comes out, he opens up the screen door so that it opened all the way over to the bricks on the side of the door. Right. Looks over, there's Pierre eating the dog's food. My neighbor freaked out, turned around, forgot the door was already open, grabbed the door, thought he was opening it, slammed it shut, and ran right into the side of the house, bounced off the bricks, and knocked himself cold. I can only imagine what that must have looked like. Now, he told me about it. I didn't witness this, but he told me about it. But, folks, can you imagine what that would have looked like on camera? That would have taken home the $10,000 and the $100,000 price on America's Funniest Home Videos. Oh, my God. I'd pay money to have seen that. Like I've said, though, somebody who can laugh at themselves, I have respect for. I mean, I can laugh at myself. If other people can laugh at themselves and their own mistakes, I have respect for that. I mean, there are people out there who do absolutely nothing wrong. Yeah, have no respect for them. But if you can laugh at yourself, I applaud you. You have no right to laugh at someone else if you can't laugh at yourself. If you cannot laugh at your own mistakes, then you have no business laughing at somebody else when they screw up. So I'm coming up on a break here. Actually, I'm a little bit overdue. Yes, George, I see you. When I come back, I want to talk about the loss of an iconic American actor. And you know full well who I'm talking about, Mr. Burt Reynolds. Be back in a couple of minutes, folks. I want to discuss him because he was one of the best.
From now, my kids will be outnumbered. Are you going to let that happen? Don't leave the mess for your children to clean up. Join the struggle. Start here at KKK Radio.
From electric outages to the zombie apocalypse, get your survival tips from Prepper Bob. He's the world's biggest Boy Scout, and he's only right here. Only on the Prepper Bob Show, and only on KKKRadio.com. That's the Prepper Bob Show. Check your local listings at KKKRadio.com. And remember to always be prepared.
College students, high school students, business owners, entrepreneurs, learn how you can be a person of influence for a new America. Enroll in Soldiers of the Cross Training Institute. Learn more at www.sotctraininginstitute.com.
Gay Pride Days, school assemblies, posters on the wall. It's in our face every day. What's a white Christian teen to do? And does anyone really care? Listen each week to White Youth Focus, where teens discuss the propaganda war against them. Moderated by caring and thoughtful white Christian activists, Billy and Charity. Because it's okay to be white and proud.
Hey folks, Tommy Freedom here for Freedom Rings. I invite you to tune in every week and listen to my show, Freedom Rings, and hear what I, Tommy Freedom, have to say. It's usually pretty interesting and quite informative. It may have something to do with freedom. It may have something to do with liberty. It may be downright funny, but it will always be informative. So be sure and tune in each week to listen to me, Tommy Freedom, here on my show at Freedom Rings, broadcasting to you loud and clear on KKK Radio. We'll be right back. So that was Bon Jovi's biggest hit, Runaway. Well, not their biggest hit, their first hit. That was the one that put them out there, so to speak. An interesting piece of trivia. You folks know, if you've been listening to this show long enough, I am pretty much the king of trivia when it comes to knowing useless information. But John Bon Jovi had a garage band, and he worked at night in a recording studio. I don't know if it was in New York or New Jersey, but he talked to the owner, the management, said, "Hey, you know, I got this band. Would it be okay if I come in after hours and if we use the equipment?" He said, "Yeah, that's fine. Just as long as you do it on your own time, we don't care because we're closed anyway." So yeah, come in and do that. So they came in and they recorded this song, Runaway. And they gave it to a couple of the local radio stations in New York City who played it. And people kept calling in, requesting this song. And it became such a huge hit locally in New York City that they got a recording contract. And the rest, as they say, is history. But that's really cool, the way they got started like that. Something actually very similar happened to a band here in Charlotte back in the late 80s or early 90s. They were very popular. They were called White Heat. You have never heard of the group White Heat. You have, however, heard of them under their name that they got. They had to change it when they got the recording contract as Firehouse. Not to be confused with a band in the next county called Firehose. You know, there's nothing like riding on somebody else's coattails, but Firehouse started here in Charlotte as White Heat. If you go on to YouTube and look up Home is Where the Heart Is by White Heat, you'll find the original. That's what they played on the local radio stations here, and people would call in and request it, and that's how they got discovered. It's an awesome tune. It's a whole lot better than the crappy one that came out on the actual album. So, as I said before the break, I want to talk about the loss of an iconic actor this past week. I think it was either Thursday or Friday. It was last Thursday. Hollywood lost a legend by the name of Burt Reynolds. And Burt Reynolds was a fantastic actor. There weren't many that were better than he for all-around acting ability. The best, I would say, was Robin Williams. Robin Williams was underrated as a dramatic actor because he was sort of typecast as Mork. Fantastically funny man. Look up some of his sketches on YouTube sometime. The man was just absolutely hilarious. And nobody knew that he was such a dramatic actor, just like Tom Hanks. Started out on Bosom Buddies. Started doing the dramatic roles and directing. Fantastic. Well, Burt Reynolds was the opposite. He started out as kind of the macho guy, as the blacksmith on Gunsmoke. And of course, we know him from such movies as Deliverance and Hooper, where he played good action roles. But then he broke out in The Cannonball Run. And that was where everyone really understood his comedic side, his funny side. And he just went on from there. But Cannonball Run, my God, folks. You go to YouTube and look up the closing credits for the Cannonball Run, where they did all the gaffes and the reels from that movie. It is absolutely hilarious. To this day, all those years later, it is still hilarious. Now, of course, I got to throw some trivia out here about Burt Reynolds. You know, I've always got the trivia. Burt Reynolds had the iconic mustache. That's what his trademark was. And Smokey the Bandit, he had that mustache. We all remember him being in Gunsmoke as clean-shaven and in Deliverance. I don't remember if he had it in Hooper yet or not. But the reason he grew a mustache was because he resembled Marlon Brando, to the point that Marlon Brando said, "You look too much like me. Grow a mustache." So he did. And even after Marlon Brando passed away, he kept that iconic mustache. You'll never need that in Trivial Pursuit, but I don't even remember where I heard it. The information comes in, I soak it up like a sponge, and it's there for retrieval later on. Don't remember where I learned it, but it's in there somewhere. Now, I never had the opportunity to work with Burt Reynolds. I never got to the caliber of movies or TV shows where I would have been around him. I think the biggest names that I've worked with are Rick Schroeder and Michael Rooker. That's it. In fact, I think I've told you the story about the time that I threatened Michael Rooker with my billy club on set. And production assistant was having a fit. She thought I was being serious. He knew I was kidding. Great sense of humor, by the way. You know, you see him when he's killing zombies and everything. That's not him in real life. In real life, the man has a heck of a sense of humor. And I noticed that when I saw him taking a nightstick from one of the other actors that was playing a cop on the movie. And this guy is twirling this thing around like a baton. So I knew he had a sense of humor. So when he came walking by me, I just stood up in front of him, raised my nightstick like I was going to whack him over the head. Said to the production assistant, said, "This dude looks like trouble. Let me hit him." She's like, "No." I said, "Oh, come on, just once." And I said, he burst out laughing. It got really, really funny. But again, not the caliber of Burt Reynolds. I never got past, well, a couple of, that one A movie. The rest of them were B movies. And I was, of course, a B movie star on a cop show for a couple of years. That was my pinnacle of fame. But it would have been nice to have worked with someone like Burt Reynolds, who'd been around for so long and has literally run the gamut. Robin Williams is gone. Burt Reynolds is gone. I think the last actor that's really that diversified is going to have to be Tom Hanks. He's the last one that I know of who can do the comedy and the serious stuff, do the directing, do the writing. Hopefully somebody else will come along that's able to fill those shoes too. But we're starting to lose a lot of the good old time talent. And it's a shame. It really is. Now, he was 82 years old. He died from a heart attack. So he had a long life. Had so much facial work done. I think he had so many facelifts that little dimple in the middle of his forehead was actually his navel at some point. But again, he will be missed in the acting community. And on that note, I will go ahead and bring this show to a close. As always, if you want to get in touch with me, you may do so by emailing me at TommyFreedomRings@yahoo.com. Any questions, requests, information, something that you'd like me to carry on the show, you come across an awesome story, something you want me to cover, or a topic you'd like me to research and do a show about, go ahead and drop me a line. If you've got an event coming up, by all means, get in touch with me so that I can get it on the air here and let the rest of our white brethren know about that. I try to combine the rest and white, and it started to come out there as the West. But anyway, until next week, my friends, this has been Tommy Freedom for Freedom Rings. Out for now.
Have I even dwelled on the fact that the show's over? I don't think about it. I try not to think about it, and therefore I, you know, don't.
Why don't you stop talking for a while?
Because it's a very healthy way to deal with something that is ultimately not that important in the long run. It's not important at all.